Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, you may have a seat. Okay. I need Deacon Ben to help me. Deacon Ben, you're going to help me by not laughing. You're going to hand out pens and paper.
I have mine.
All right. Let me get this. Josiah, you're going to help me by going behind Deacon Ben, and you're going to hand these out. Give everyone two, please. That is Josiah. Today's the 21st. April 21st.
I get my braces on next Wednesday.
What? Braces on?
My mom says it's not on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So... we'll save some for next week.
I'm just going to check something, my man. Check. Great.
And I'll be controlling it from my iPad.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, tonight, we're looking at our third discipleship topic. Practical discipleship topic. Do you guys remember what the first one was? I'll give you a hint. What am I doing?
Prayer.
Prayer. We talked about prayer. That was about 2 months ago. Then, do y'all remember what the second one was?
OIA.
Yeah, OIA, Bible reading. And I know we got to make up because Audrey... it's going to get $2, but I think I might shift it. One of these days, we're gonna try to take a trip to Sonic or something. I don't know when, but I've been thinking about it. Pastor Scott suggested it. So, at those who got $2, you get $2. Well, Audrey's going to get a drink or an ice cream. Mm. Hey, you could have kept your $2 and used it on... huh?
I can give it back.
Or you could use it to buy ice cream. So, Bible study was the last one. We did it twice. We went over it twice. This week, our practical discipleship topic is fellowship. Fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
All right, good job. Just to summarize, what we're going to learn tonight is that Christians are meant to be in covenantal community with other Christians. Let me explain those two C words. Covenantal community. Covenant. The Bible records for us how God made these agreements called covenants with his people. A covenant was similar to a contract, but really it was a lot more. It was like a solemn, sacred oath that God was going to do something, and people in that time would make covenants with one another, and there were severe consequences for breaking the covenant. And the Bible tells us that Jesus on the cross was fulfilling a new covenant. He introduced a new covenant, a covenant that was from his blood. He shed his blood to bring us into his family. And now we're part of what's called the new covenant. That's the word covenant. The word community... think of common and unity, a common thing that binds people together. And when you put those two words together and you think about the Christian life, Christians are meant to be in covenantal community. We have been brought into the covenantal family of God, and we're to live in community with that family of God, and also in community with God himself. So that's why this is such an important discipleship topic. And you guys at your age, it's, you know this. I taught you on Sunday. It's imperative that you guys at a young age, if you want to follow Christ, you understand that this is a reality. This is something that's expected of Christians and taught in the Bible. Now, let me read a couple verses for you quickly, because I want you to see where this word fellowship, which it's translated in the Bible as fellowship, is. Because a lot of people don't understand this. When they think of fellowship, they think, oh, it's just talking with one another. How many of you seen Lord of the Rings? All right, you know what the first book or the first movie's called?
Lord of the Rings.
Fellowship of the Ring.
The Fellowship of the Ring. The Fellowship of the Ring. If you were to understand the word fellowship as, oh, it's just talking and having fun together, you would not at all understand the first Lord of the Rings movie. Because that, Tolkien, the author, understood the concept of this word better than we do in the 21st century. This says in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Now he's going to explain why. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Does anybody want to take a guess at where the word that we often translate to get fellowship is in this verse? Josiah, where do you think that word is?
Partnership.
Yes! Good job. That same word that our Bibles translate fellowship from the Greek is that word right there, partnership. Let me give you the word, okay? You're going to learn a little Greek, okay? Koinonia. Koinonia. Think of like a coin on your knee. A coin on your knee. That's how you can remember it. Koinonia. This is used right here. And when you think of partnership, you think of someone locking hands with somebody. Red, you ever played Red Rover?
Oh, yeah.
Red Rover, send Aiden on over. You're partnering with the person next to you to make sure Aiden doesn't get through that link in the chain, right?
Yeah, if it's me and my friend Evan, nobody will.
Oh yeah, you guys would hold it down.
And our whole class knows that.
Well,
the people that played.
I wish Christians had the same type of resilience as you and you said Evan.
Yeah.
Have. Here's another verse. This is where we see this word, and we see it actually unfolding in the church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. There's that word. The fellowship. And in reality, this is all just kind of unloading what they're doing. This fellowship is all of this. To the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's from chapter 2. Now, we'll get into chapter 4 later of Acts because we're going to look at that a little more. Because it keeps explaining how the early church functioned. And it was all because they were partnering together. They were in this partnership. So, we're going to learn tonight 5 important aspects of Christian fellowship. 5. Everybody hold up 5 fingers. 5. We're going to look at 5 of them tonight. And now with each of these, I'm going to show you what they are and how Scripture supports it. Then I'm going to show you what it looks like practically. So let's look at the first aspect. Unity in the message of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
It's a Sunday school answer. You always answer Jesus. And if you said Jesus, you got it correct. Look at Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Let me ask you a question. What are the apostles teaching? Who did they learn from? The apostles. Jesus. Remember the Sunday school answer? Jesus. The apostles taught everything concerning Jesus. They stuck to Christ because Christ stuck with them for 3 years. And so what this looks like for us, unity in the message of Jesus, it means that everyone who's a part of this fellowship, this partnership, they're supposed to be in agreement with everything that Jesus taught. And if you want to get a full overview of everything Jesus taught and opened up for us, where do you think you'd get it?
The Bible.
Boom. Boom shakalaka. The Holy Bible. Jesus opened up this book to his apostles, the Old Testament specifically, showed them who he was, and then the apostles, after Jesus did all this, they gave us the New Testament. And remember what we talked about with studying the Bible. We want to know what the Bible says. We don't want to know what people say about the Bible. And the apostles, they went directly to what Jesus said, not what other people thought about it. So what would this look like for us? First, it means that we would put ourselves in a place in a church where the message of Christ is taught clearly. They're not going to the right or to the left. They're not making some new gospel. They're not saying, and they're not hiding some of the things that are taught in the Bible. So this looks like being a part of a church that teaches this. Being a part of a church that does Bible studies, that has small groups. This means for you individually, you personally study the Bible. And then this might mean as you're growing up and you feel comfortable discipling another person, maybe you go one-on-one with someone and disciple them through the message of Christ and show them what Jesus said. So that's unity in the message of Jesus. That's one of the first aspects of fellowship when it comes to us being disciples of Christ. So now let's look at the second aspect of fellowship. The second one is praying together. Praying together. That's why I'm teaching. I taught you guys how to pray. That's why I'm teaching you how to study the Bible. Because they're all foundations to your fellowship and partnership with each other. Look at what they did at the beginning when the church was first formed. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and the prayers. When it says the breaking of bread, this means they were like physically, they were sharing life with one another. And they were praying together. It's amazing. You know, during the time of COVID, not a lot of people have been praying together. So Luke describes that when they're devoting themselves to prayer, it's sort of like an intimate family event. So what would this look like now? Look like for us, we would want to share prayer needs with one another in our church, in our youth group. If there's something you need to pray for, share it with someone in this group. It means designated time during meetings to pray corporately. And I think this is something we can work on. We only get an hour, right? Right now, 6:30 to 7:30. Hopefully when our Wednesday meals resume, maybe we can expand some of the things we do. We can all start praying together. Also means when you grow up, or even now as a middle schooler, you feel like you can handle it, maturity level, you could join a life group and pray in the life group with the other believers. So that is the second aspect of fellowship as it pertains to being a disciple of Christ. Pray together. Now let's look at the third one. The third aspect is partnership in gospel Mission? Everybody know what missions?
Yes.
What is a mission? If someone goes on a mission trip, what are they doing? They're going somewhere. Sometimes they do work. Do you guys know what kind of mission trips Paul went on? The Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul would go and tell people about Christ. Not just doing work or building a building or building a ramp for someone to get into their home if they're crippled, but they would, the Apostle Paul went and told people about Jesus. So partnership in gospel mission and communal support for each other. Hey, what does it mean when someone does this? What are they talking about?
Money,
money, money, money, money, money, money. Now, usually you say someone's doing that because they're greedy, huh? They love money, but this is where the idea of tithing comes in, which we're going to talk about at another time. But the church in Acts chapter 4, we see there was not a needy person among them. As many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they were helping one another when someone was in need. And then in Philippians, Paul talked about the partnership that the Philippians had. And that was financially. They helped support Paul's mission trip. So what does this look like for us? It means that we would we as Christians are called to contribute sacrificially to church benevolence funds, and we commit sacrificially to financially supporting missionaries, both as a group and individually. Now, one of the things I hope that we can do is both the middle school group and high school group collectively, I'd love for us to be able to start supporting some missionaries somewhere where we collect a tithe every week. And you guys learn what it means to give towards the mission of Christ. Because if we're going to keep doing this, I want to lock arms and say, Red Rover, Red Rover, let's actually send someone on over. So that's what I hope we can do at some point. So partnership in gospel mission and communal support for each other or for one another. Now let's look at the fourth important aspect. Okay, this is important. Okay, this is important, especially during the time of COVID, because people have sort of abandoned this. I'm building it up. Here it is. We live life together with physical presence. What does it mean when I say physical presence, Josiah?
You're actually there, like,
yeah.
You're
instead actually
of,
here.
Instead of on a screen.
Yes, sir. Look at this guy.
He's on it.
Preach it, brother.
He's on it.
We're going to have you teach this next time.
No.
You know why I can say this? Well, there's a few verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, day by day. What does it say? Attending the temple. What's this word?
Together.
Together. And breaking bread in their homes. Meaning they were sharing food with one another. Like breaking bread and sharing and passing it out. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. The book of Acts teaches and shows us that the church, you know, they didn't just... There are some people nowadays, they like to go on a Sunday morning and they like to go for a hike. And they get up on top of a mountain all alone by themselves every Sunday. And when they come down and they tell people what they did on Sunday, yeah, I went on my hike. That's church for me. That's my church experience. Guys, that's not church. I just want you to know that. It's important you understand. You can't just swap the word church to describe something you like doing. In fact, I heard, oh, this broke my heart. I heard a song on the country radio station. It had to have been a country radio station. And it was this lady singing about how her church experience is getting in her Mustang and driving down the road and listening to songs and singing. And she was saying, "Hallelujah, it saved my soul." And talking about, that's church for me. You can't swap out words and change their meaning because the church literally means called out gathered ones. People that are called out from the world and then they are together. That's what the word literally means. So that's why it's important. We're to live life together with physical presence. Now, there are times... I'm not guilting anyone in here for being apart during COVID. I know it was scary. I know we were told a lot of things, but I also want you to know that historically, you know what, when I say historically, it means that there's a record for the church being, throughout history, the boldest and most courageous group of people that are willing to put themselves in harm's way just to help people and even be the church. So I just want to say that. Don't hear me wrong. So what this looks like for us, at bare minimum, maybe even below bare minimum, it means that we are to participate in in-person local church worship. Being a regular participator in some type of small group. Sharing meals with other Christians in and outside of regular meeting times. And youth group. But, you know, just don't forsake the gathering with other Christians. That's what Hebrews says. Don't forsake it, as some have. We're supposed to live life together with physical presence. All right. Now let's look at the last one. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The last one. Pastor Caleb's almost done. Yeah. Our last one is praising God together. When you think of the word praise, it means like identifying and acknowledging that there is worth in something. When someone shoots a basketball from the three-point line or even from the half court or the other side of the court, you know what people are going to do on ESPN the next day?
Review it and review it and review it.
But aren't they going to talk about how awesome that player is who made that shot?
Yeah, and they're also going to replay it. I'm used
That's
to
That's a really good idea of understanding praise. So.
And I've watched ESPN more than once.
So they get on the next day on SportsCenter and they start reviewing all the highlights and they just say, can you believe that Steph Curry, he made that shot and it was just down to the wire, and he is such a good ball player. They're praising him.
Or Steph Curry made 63 points last game, or 53.
So this is what it means to praise God. We identify together all the things that God has done, and we acknowledge them. Look at what it says in Acts 2:42. We know the church does this because it's modeled. Verse 47, praising God. And having favor with all people. So it says they were praising God. They were actively participating in praising God together. And this is a very interesting thing that Luke puts this together very close with praising God. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So Luke isn't some dummy just putting things randomly as his narrative. He's not just doing it randomly and thinking, oh, whatever. Yes, ma'am.
This isn't Wikipedia.
What? Like Wikipedia.
Yeah, this isn't Wikipedia.
This isn't Wikipedia. But Luke is describing something purposefully, and he is putting the fact that the church is praising God close to the fact that God's multiplying it, too. He puts them together, and you know why? It's because that is what humans are created to do. You were created to praise God. And when God's people, like us, really get it and we understand it, we praise God authentically, people take notice. They take notice, they observe, and they think to themselves, wow, this is something I really need. Here's how you can know that you and I and the people all around the world were created for worship. The very fact that we have things like SportsCenter, where they'll replay all those amazing things that athletes do, and they'll talk about it for, I mean, literally, How long are these shows?
All day.
All day!
And night.
All day and night. And the majority of what they're doing is praising the fact that people can play ball and talking about it. They don't even realize that they're doing worship. They're seeing value in something, and they are obsessing over it. The very fact that we have entertainment like that, and entertainment in general, proves that we were wired to praise God. God created us this way. And so when those people who've been watching SportsCenter 24 hours a day come to a service where we're praising Jesus, and they see us have joy and satisfaction like they can't experience by watching SportsCenter, hey, they might like talking about shooting a basketball goal, but the majority of people can't do it. But then they see us worshiping the Savior who's promised to include us in resurrecting the dead. Jesus is including us in what has happened to him. So anyway, went off on a tangent. Anyway, you got to praise God together. What would this look like? It means participating in singing praise songs like you guys were just doing a little bit ago. You did a good job. Everybody give a thumbs up. Y'all sounded beautiful. Now, if you have a hard time singing and you have a hard time getting into worship, here's what I want to suggest for you. I want you to think about the words that we're singing. When you see the lyrics up there and you're like, I don't feel this. Think about it. Kind of think critically about what we're saying. And usually, if you have the Holy Spirit, God can use that to propel you into feeling it. Because I'll be honest, some Sunday mornings I come to church and I'm not feeling it. And I have to put myself in a place where I do. We got to think less about how we look and how we sound and think more about what we're singing. This also means that we publicly and privately speak the worthiness of God to one another. You know, if someone's depressed and you're talking to them and they're having a rough day, you can praise God to them and encourage them. Like, Aiden, you're having a rough day? Aiden, let me tell you something. God is so amazing. He loves you. He is so kind to you. And he's going to fulfill all of his promises. That might encourage Aiden, but it's also praising God. So, that's the fifth and final thing. So, let's recap. Five important aspects of Christian fellowship. Number one, unity in the message of
Jesus.
Number two, what do we do together?
Pray
together. Number three, we have partnership in gospel
mission
and communal
support
for each other. Good job. And number four, we're living life together with
physical
presence. We're not just doing it on a screen. Hey, guess what? Facebook isn't your Facebook friends are. May not actually be your friends. Sorry.
Some
are.
What?
But most of the people you don't even know.
Really?
How can you be like that with the church?
Oh, we better not.
Number five, praising God together. Good job. Okay, we have 15 minutes. So if you want to get a snack, you can go after I pray. We're waiting to get people out. All right, let me pray. God, thank you for this discipleship topic. Pray that your kid can understand it. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them as they eat their food and we play a game. In Jesus' name.